if it's possible, if it depends on you, be at peace with all men. But the very nature of relationships are that there are two sides to them, and you don't control both sides of the equation. Sometimes it's just out of your hands.
Hello, and welcome to the Truth Pulpit with Don Green, founding pastor of Truth Community Church in Cincinnati, Ohio. Hello, I'm Bill Wright, and we're continuing our series, Philemon, Charge That to My Account. Last time, Don began a message titled, About That Broken Relationship. We reviewed the manner in which Paul interceded with Philemon, a godly man whose former slave, Onesimus, wronged him. Paul urged Philemon to cast aside bitterness and consider God's will for reconciliation. What a great model of Christ's interceding for us and how we too should follow. On today's broadcast, Don will give us four practical takeaways. So have your Bible handy as we join him now in the Truth Pulpit.
We're putting ourselves in Philemon's sandals in order to view things as it was for him before he got the letter. His slave was gone. He didn't know where he was. He had been wronged in this relationship, and there was no way for him to fix it. He didn't even know where this man was. And so there's a fractured relationship that's present that he's dealing with. What can we draw from this? And what can we draw from the way that Paul handles it and what he said to us in this passage? First of all, I would have you write this down. And believe it or not, all of these things are helpful. First of all, sometimes close relationships are broken. Sometimes close relationships are broken, even for godly, growing Christians. Here's the thing. In general, the world is a sin-broken world, and conflict comes with that. On a macro level, when cities blow up and in riots, when wars come, and it comes in personal relationships as well. Now, beloved, here's the next thing that you need to say as we bring this within the walls of the church. The next thing that you need to see. Becoming a Christian does not remove you from that realm. It does not somehow magically take you out and place you in a realm where everything is peaceful and you never experience any conflict in your relationships at all. That is not reality. And it's not good to have that as your expectation. Let's deal with reality. Let's deal with what Scripture says. You know what Jesus said? Well, he said a lot, Pastor. Yeah, I know. I'll be more specific here. Jesus said that he himself sometimes is the cause of greater conflict in personal relationships. Look over at Luke chapter 12. I want you to see this. Luke chapter 12 in verse 51. Luke chapter 12, verse 51. Jesus said, "Do you suppose that I came to grant peace on earth? I tell you no, but rather division. For from now on, five members in one house will be divided, three against two and two against three. They will be divided, father against son and son against father, mother against daughter and daughter against mother, mother-in-law against daughter-in-law and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law." Christ says, when you are born again, when I save you, when you start living for me, it is going to create conflict with those who don't. That's why he says in Matthew chapter 5, verses 10 through 12, he says, "Blessed are you when people persecute you, when they insult you, when they say all kinds of things against you falsely on account of me." He says, "Be glad in that day and rejoice, for your reward is great in heaven." My point is this. Jesus tells us, he told us during his ministry, the writers of Scripture recorded for us, that one aspect of our existence as Christians is the reality that there will be conflict with those closest to us, and sometimes it is directly a result of our commitment to Christ. Sometimes close relationships are broken The nature of a sin-fallen world points us in that direction, and the nature of what Christ said to us as disciples prepares us for that. And here's the thing, my friends, my brothers and sisters in Christ, God would have you calculate that into your worldview about your relationships, that sometimes there will be conflict. Sometimes there will be things that come up and difficulties come to you that you weren't looking for, that you don't welcome, but it's just the way that it is. It was that way for Philemon. Christ told us to expect that. We expect it from the nature of the world in which we live. The truth of the matter is that you and I are not only on the receiving end, sometimes we're on the contributing end of that. We get that. We understand that. All we're saying now is to realize this is the nature of life, that it's like that. First, you walk through the fact that conflict comes with the territory of life. You don't have to be surprised if it comes. Now, secondly, this is the one that's a little more difficult because it's going to be contrary to what you want me to say. Number two, beloved, you may not be able to fix it. You may not be able to fix it. That's the condition that Philemon was in. Onesimus had fled. He had run away. Philemon did not even know where he was. So how is he going to restore harmony to this relationship, even though he's this godly, productive Christian? He did not have control over reconciliation with this member of his household before the letter arrived. In Romans 12, I believe it's verse 18, Paul says, let's look to that. Romans chapter 12, verse 18. Yes, it is. I like it when that happens. Romans 12, 17 and 18. You see kind of an indirect acknowledgement of what I'm saying here. Paul says, never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Romans 12, verse 17. Never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Respect what is right in the sight of all men. If possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. You see, if it's possible, if it depends on you, be at peace with all men. But the very nature of relationships are that there are two sides to them, and you don't control both sides of the equation. You're not able to control what that other person says or does. And I realize that this is hard to see sometimes, especially when it's close up and you're right in the middle of it. It's even harder to accept on a human level. But beloved, sometimes it's just out of your hands. And what does that do? It frees you up from a sense of misplaced responsibility to go out and fix it. If someone hates you, if someone absolutely refuses to talk to you, I've been there, you can't make them. And if that's their hard attitude, it's not going to do any good to draw them in like a reluctant donkey and just pull them against it to get them to talk. That's not going to help when you're in that situation. So, beloved, you might seek resolution. You might let it be known, I'm open. I'm available. I want this to work out. I'll do whatever I can within the scope of righteousness for this to work out and be good between us again. But understand that you can't make that other person want that and respond to it rightly. That's not in your power. And the sooner that we accept that, the closer we are to peace. And frankly, the closer we are to where the Lord would take you in your spiritual life with it, as I'm going to show you in these next couple of points here. But beloved, you cannot make someone see it your way. You cannot make someone agree with you from their heart if they're opposed to that, if they're not willing to do that. You can't make them. You can't force them. You're not sovereign over them. And you see that and you say, okay, I can dial it back a bit. And then what do you do? This is the good stuff. Now we get into the good stuff. what I've tried to do here this morning is to be realistic and to free you from a false sense of responsibility that I can make this happen, I can make this reconciliation take place, or I must. It's just not, you may be in a position where you can't make that happen. Well, then what do you do? Then you look up. And point number three, you trust the purpose of God. You trust the purpose of God. Through your heartache, through the disappointment, through the hurt feelings, even through the anger that you feel, why is this like this? And this person won't even communicate with me. How am I supposed to fix this if they won't talk to me? Well, that's when you stop looking at the human dimension of this and you start remembering what it is that you believe about God, about His character, and about His sovereignty. Remember, go back to Philemon here. Go back to Philemon 15. And Paul says to Philemon in verse 15, "Perhaps he was for this reason separated from you for a while, that you would have him back forever." Paul was reminding Philemon that there was a greater purpose at work in the separation. Now, my brothers and sisters in Christ, I ask you to receive well what I am about to say, because this changes your whole perspective on all of it and gives you a place where you can rest even if the circumstances never change. Paul said, Philemon, in this situation, here's what God may have been doing. He could say that because God is sovereign and because God's hand is in. Oh, watch this, beloved. Watch this. Grab hold of it. Rest on it. Grab hold of this and bring it close to your chest and cling to it in your broken relationship. God's hand is in everything that happens. God is directing everything in the universe to accomplish His will, Ephesians 1:10 says. That is always the case, beloved. An eternal God is always, always working out His eternal purpose in everything that happens. That is just an implication, a corollary of the fact that God is God. God reigns. God is over His creation. God is at work. And He knows what He's doing. The challenge for you is that you don't. You don't see it. Sometimes you're operating behind the veil and you don't get to see what that is. But beloved, in the midst of your disappointment, in the midst of the hardship, and look, I'm mindful of how unfairly and how badly you've been treated in some of your relationships. I get that. But that's not what we're talking about here. What we're talking about here is the realm of God. And what can we say about God in the midst of your broken relationship? God has His eye on the sparrow. Jesus said, not a sparrow falls to the ground apart from the knowledge of your Father. In that same context, in Matthew 10, He said, He knows the numbers of the hairs on your head. Jesus says, your Father, your Heavenly Father, is over all. He knows all, and He carefully tends to even the smallest, most insignificant aspects of His creation. The sparrow, the single solitary strand of hair on your head. Jesus says, you look at that level of detail and understand that your Heavenly Father loves you and cares for you like that. And therefore, what you're supposed to do is to look at the small thing. Oh, He takes care of birds. Go up to the bigger thing and say, oh, I have this broken relationship in my life. You know what? In a way that I can't see, understand, or even fully appreciate right now, God has that in His hands just like He does the sparrow. And even though this is grievously sore and difficult to me, I trust Him to be working out a loving purpose, even though I don't see it. You might say at this point, but you don't understand. You don't understand how wickedly they've treated me. You don't know how they've wronged me. To which we simply go back and gently come back to Scripture and say, remember what Joseph said. You meant evil for me, but God meant it for good. You know what would be good in the midst of your broken relationship? You know one element of greater eternal good that would come out of it, if you would respond in that way, is to say, I'm going to set aside this human relationship and rest more fully in the goodness and the sovereignty and the love of my Heavenly Father. You say to yourself, I know I can trust Him. I know that He loves me because Jesus Christ gave His life on a cross to save my soul from sin. He took the punishment of my sin in order that I would be forgiven and have eternal life. That's the nature of God that is at work in this circumstance in my life. And I see His loving purpose, His eternal loving purpose at the cross. I believe that. I trust in that. And I believe, you say to yourself, this is where your life changes. I believe the same eternal loving purpose that took Christ to the cross is at work in this circumstance, even though I don't see it. And therefore, I have hope and confidence about what's going on. I can have a measure of peace and comfort in this, even though on a human level, this hurts. The hurt, humanly, is transcended by the love eternally. So you trust the purpose of God. And beloved, you don't need to know the outcome of the human relationship in order to be able to rest in that. God is at work, and God is love, and God is good, and He causes all things to work together for good to those who love God and are called according to His purpose. Christian, it is your birthright to be able to trust Him even in the midst of that broken relationship. This starts to give you something of the wonder and the measure of how good it is to be a Christian. All of a sudden, all of the difficult things in life are redefined and have a purpose that you cannot see, but that you know the intent of. The intent of these things is to shape you for eternal glory in heaven. That's something to anticipate. That's a place to rest hope in, isn't it? You bet it is. Finally, what do you do in the midst of it? Fourthly, give yourself to the people who do receive you. Give yourself to the people who do receive you. Give yourself to the people who do love you. You see, I know how it is, beloved. One relationship goes south, and all of a sudden, it's like dropping food coloring into a glass of water. It colors everything else, and it's all that you think about, and it just shapes everything that you do. The broken relationship becomes the hub of your thoughts, and everything eventually comes back to that center of gravity. Something about our human nature makes us like that. But beloved, ask God and act upon a decision that says, I'm going to give myself to the people who do receive you. Here's how we get this out of the text of Philemon. At some point, you've got to get these things out of the text. Remember who Philemon was before this letter showed up. He was a fruitful Christian. Go back to the start of Philemon in verses 1 and 2. Paul speaking to Philemon. And by the way, remember that Paul is writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And so this is God's assessment of Philemon, even in the midst of that broken relationship with his runaway slave. He says, Philemon, our beloved brother and fellow worker. He says in verse 4, I thank my God always, making mention of you in my prayers. I hear of your love, of your faith in Christ, your love toward all the saints. Verse 7, the joy and comfort of your love. The hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you, brother. Philemon was in the midst of ministering to people and loving fellow Christians who were more than receptive to his life, his ministry, and his relationship. He gave himself over to them. He served them and was a blessing to them, even though Onesimus had rejected him. Beloved, every one of you needs to hear this, because all of us need this kind of encouragement in our hearts. Your life is not defined by one bad relationship. Your existence is not determined. The measure of your life is not found in the one or two people or three people who reject you and accuse you and say all kinds of horrible things about you. That's not the measure of your life. Life doesn't stop in response to that, even though I realize that for some of you, we're talking about the closest human relationship that you have. I get that. But beloved, let this help you look up and trust the purpose of God and look out at the other dimension of relationships that God has given you. Beloved, for all of you in this room, every one of you in this room, just within our church, there are many, many people who receive you, who love you, and accept you for exactly who you are. That's part of the beauty of being in the body of Christ, is that we love each other. Well, thank God for those people. Love them back. Pray for them. And receive their love and let that be the food coloring, as it were, that colors the water of the way that you think about life. I'll state it a different way. My friends, as we're talking about that broken relationship and what you want in that relationship just isn't coming to pass. I have relationships like this. I don't speak this lightly. I speak it on level ground with you. Beloved, write this down. Live in the realm that God has given to you rather than living in regret over the realm that He has not given to you. If God has given you a realm of loving relationships, even if they're outside your family and people love you and receive you, enjoy that. Capitalize on it. Maybe, beloved, maybe in time, watch this, maybe in time God will give the other to you as well, just like He gave Onesimus back to Philemon. Maybe in the future that's still ahead, but don't stop living and loving while you're waiting for that to happen. Philemon didn't. Let me say this. If that person has wronged you and hurt you, but you can't communicate your way out of it for whatever reason, just have it in your heart, I'm willing to forgive. My arms are open. I'm willing. But I realize that if they're not, I can't make that happen. But in my heart, the first thing I would do is rejoice if they came like that. You remember the father of the prodigal son? Prodigal son said, give me my inheritance. I wish you were dead. He goes off and he squanders it all on women and loose living. Comes to his senses. I'll go back to my father. The father, what's the father done? He's continued living, continued going. He's with them. And then he sees that prodigal a long way off and he just runs for him for joy over having this person back. Willing to forgive, but in the meantime, he'd gone on with life, with the relationships that he had. Beloved, maybe God will give you that person, give you that relationship back in the future. Don't let go of that hope. Don't write anyone off, but don't wait. Don't pause your living until that comes. In the meantime, trust Christ, trust the purpose of God, and keep living with joy. And give yourself to the people who love you. And if that's only within the walls of this church, there's plenty of love to go around here.
And so we note that relationships, even close ones, can be broken, and we may not be able to fix them. So we trust the purpose and sovereignty of God, and we give ourselves to the people who God has put in our path. Pastor Don Green will continue our series, Philemon, Charge That to My Account, on our next broadcast. Plan now to join us here on the Truth Pulpit. Right now, Don's back here in studio with some closing words.
As we close today, I just want to make something available to you. You know, as you listen to these radio broadcasts, they have to fit into a 25-minute format, and we're very grateful for the opportunity the Lord's given us to do just that. But the radio messages are born out of a longer sermon message that contains more information, more background, a fuller explanation of the passage than what we're able to do on radio. So I encourage you to go to our website and find the link that says Follow Don's Pulpit. That'll lead you to a podcast that gives you the full-length sermons from every Sunday and every Tuesday from my pulpit. I really think that it'll minister to you over time to hear the full-length messages. So we make that available for free, and we would love you to join us in that way as well.
Thank you, Don. And friend, we hope you'll visit thetruthpulpit.com soon. That's thetruthpulpit.com. Thanks for listening. I'm Bill Wright, and we'll see you next time for more from The Truth Pulpit.